There are also more substantial forms of resistance, collective protests, peasants banding together, for example, and drafting a petition of complaint, which happened especially when conditions got worse. A new landlord came in and changed the rules, for example, of how many days you worked on estate lands. Peasants also fled away from where any serfdom existed, especially to the frontiers of the south and the southeast. Arson wasn't unusual for all of a sudden the landlord's barn to burn up. Didn't solve anything, it didn't make life better for them, but it sometimes felt good. It was cathartic, as it were. And even occasionally murder, especially of overseers hired by the landlords, which was both cathartic, in a certain sense satisfying, and instrumental in that you got rid of a hated overseer. And finally, there were some mass uprisings, inevitably suppressed in the most brutal manner, typically with public hanging, shooting, even quartering, and having the pieces thrown to dogs. In the 18th century, the most impressive of these uprisings was led by a man named Emilian Ivanovich Pugachev. And the story of his uprising began in 1772, when Pugachev, a 30-year-old man, arrived among the Cossacks and peasants who were settled around the Ural River, then known as the Yaik River, at the eastern frontier of European Russia. And he identified himself as Tsar Peter III, who had come to deliver them from oppression. Peter III, you'll recall, was Catherine the Great's husband, who had been toppled and murdered shortly afterwards. And many peasants believe that he was killed precisely because he intended to free the serfs. A brief word about who these Cossacks were, since they're so important to this story. These are tribes essentially of frontiersmen. They lived on the outer bounds of the Muscovite state, at least until the 18th century when the state expanded and took over their lands. They lived partly by farming, but also by plunder. They were great horsemen and very good thieves as well. And they were sort of known and often romanticized by many Russians and still later in literature for their rebellious spirit. Two things are happening in the 18th century. One, as serfdom expanded, many runaway serfs were heading to the Cossack lands and joining up with the Cossacks. And as the Russian state expanded even further into these Cossack lands, many Cossack leaderships agreed to enter into the Russian army, to serve them loyally in the as special divisions within the army of the Russian state. Not all Cossacks accepted this, though. And Pugachev himself was a former Don Cossack, though one of those many disgruntled Cossacks. He was a deserter from military service. He had fought in the war against Turkey in Catherine the Great's time and just walked away, hence a rebel from the law. He was probably an old believer, at least we knew he said old believer things. And in other words, he was a malcontent on the edges of Russian society. He was also very successful. Throughout the Ural region, whole villages came out to greet the so-called returned emperor. Cossacks were the primary group to join him, but there were also large numbers of serfs, state peasants, serfs who had been ascribed, attached to factories and mines, lower-class town dwellers, old believers, non-Russians of all sorts, such as Bashkirs, but also Tatars, who were descendants of the Mongols, Kalmyks, Kazakhs, and others who were also coming under the expanding control of the state, and a host of vagrants, deserters, escaped convicts, defrocked monks, highwaymen, political exiles, even a few ruined noblemen. By October of 1773, numerous forts and settlements had fallen to the rather motley army that had surrounded Pugachev. In fact, a six-month siege of a major town, Orenburg, in the southern Urals, began. The army that surrounded him at this point had about 2,000 followers and a lot of weapons picked up along the way, and at every victory, new people joined. They began then marching toward the Volga River region with the goal of marching on to Petersburg. And in this region, around the Volga River area, thousands of peasants joined in, so that by January of 1774, observers said something like 30,000 people were following Pugachev's army. And as this movement grew, it also became more violent. As towns were attacked, there was looting and pillaging and beatings and killing, especially of anyone who looked like a member of the elite. For example, in the town of Kazan on the upper Volga, most of the houses in the city were looted and burned, and anybody without a beard was beaten, and many were brutally killed.